You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
Good day, Mike. How are you?
It is daylight, Jake. Isn't it?
It is. We have long winters here in Boston, and the days are short, but it is finally bright now.
I love it. Leaving work, and it's sunshine outside, and it's not the middle of the night. It's so good.
I actually walked home from work the other day, all the way, which is about 5 miles, because the Red Sox were playing, and the train gets really crazy, so had to walk home, but it was really nice. It was a perfect day.
Those are the days where I don't miss living in the city anymore, living in Boston, because I used to live on the line that everybody took to get to the games. And it was just like, if you forgot the schedule, you were not getting on a train.
Yeah, so you might as well just stay at work.
Kudos to you for walking home. But when it's nice outside, it doesn't matter. It's a nice day.
It doesn't. It was beautiful.
In terms of how I'm doing, Jake, I'm actually doing really well because I wanted to let you know I was at a conference last week, a tech conference. I guess by the time this episode goes out, it'll be a couple weeks. But at this tech conference, I had a chance to meet a number of our listeners, and it was really exciting. So I want to say to the listeners out there who I had a chance to meet, thank you for listening. To any new listeners we got from that conference, welcome to our podcast. But it was really exciting to like talk to people when they knew the podcast. It was really exciting stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, when you came back, Mike, and you told me about that, it was really good feeling. So thank you to everyone who is out there listening. And if you're just joining, then welcome to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. Today, Mike, I was thinking we'd kick it off with a little game.
All right, Jake.
All right. Let's hear. Here's the thing. We haven't actually decided on a title for this yet, but I know what it's going to be. And for our listeners out there, they also know what it is, but you don't know what it is. And today we're talking about procrastination versus the opposite of procrastination. There's a word for that. I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up, and we're going to give you a quiz.
All right.
The listeners and I.
Oh, man. Now I'm really stressing out.
All right. So, Mike, what is the opposite of procrastination? Is it A, crastination, B, prostination, C, precrastination, or D, concrastination?
I feel like you need like the Jeopardy music going on. Let's see.
Maybe I'll edit that in.
Let me break this down the way I would as solving a development problem. So procrastination has pro as the prefix. So crastination is the word. So I don't think A would be the answer. I don't think it would just be crastination. And I don't think you would get rid of the cross, so it wouldn't be prostination. What was that?
Prostination.
Precrastination, where you do it before you crastinate? I don't think that either. I'm going to go with concrastination as my answer.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
All right. Well, the answer is actually C, precrastination.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
All right.
Good one, developer.
So yeah. Hey, as a developer, you don't have to get every question asked to you correct.
You certainly don't.
It's okay to make mistakes.
That's what QA is for.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's precrastination, and I've actually taken the time to change all of the instances in our show notes of precrastination to just blank lines, so Mike didn't know what it was as we were reviewing. So good luck remembering that, but it's precrastination, and today we're going to be talking about precrastination versus procrastination.
Which is interesting because, listeners, if you don't know, Jake and I, one of us is a procrastinator and the other one is a precrastinator. So I think this should be an interesting topic in discussion.
So let's kick it off. I think today, Mike, let's talk about what these two polar opposites actually are. We can talk about some discussion points that I would actually like to cover about being a procrastinator or a precrastinator. And then we can also talk about some tips for improving your habits, whether you're a procrastinator or a precrastinator.
Should we say right off the bat, Jake, that for our listeners, if you identify as a procrastinator or a precrastinator, one is not better than the other, and we're not in this episode going to try to say you should be one or the other.
Right. Very good point, Mike. Thank you for bringing that up. I believe that people often think that procrastination is a bad thing and being proactive is a good thing. Being proactive is a good thing, but there really is a set of pros and cons to each of these polars.
Especially when it comes to development.
Particularly when it comes to development.
Yeah, particularly when it comes to development.
So Mike, let's start with procrastination. What is it?
So procrastination, Jake, is waiting until the last minute before something is due or before something needs to be completed to work on it and get it done. Example that we all might be able to relate to is waiting to the night before to complete a book report, say in high school or, you know, in grammar school. And, you know, it's 6 o'clock, you're going to bed at 11, and you have those 4 hours to write your book report that is due the next day.
Better get hurrying.
Yeah. Maybe in development, it's waiting until the day before you're supposed to give a client demo to finish up that functionality that was just sitting there for 2 weeks.
Right, right. So, but like we said, there are pros and cons to both sides of this. So some pros of procrastination, despite the book report sounding like a bad thing, it creates a sense of urgency that forces you to complete a task, which is actually a good thing. It's not so good to have the pressure of having to do it in such a tight timeline, but that urgency is a good thing, and it could potentially lead you to completing a task at a quicker rate than if you weren't to procrastinate.
Yeah, especially if you're someone who has like a procrastinative mindset, having that added pressure, that stress, may make it easier for you to work on that task to get it done. You may need that, what they call, a fire lit under you to get it done.
Right. I also like that you use the word procrastinative, which is a word that I've never used in my entire life. I typed it out because it felt right, and I just waited for the red squiggly line to appear.
And it did.
And it didn't. Right. It didn't. So procrastinative. Well said, Mike. Another pro, if you have a procrastinative mindset, it's easier for you to not stress about an impending task, which is good. You can kind of live in the moment, and then when it comes time to get your task done, that's when you buckle down and focus.
Being a procrastinator can lead you to pay attention to the things that have the highest priority and work only focus on those first.
Right.
As deadlines come up, your priority shifts. But there are cons to being a procrastinator as well, Jake, such as it potentially, as a developer, can compromise the quality of your work. I mean, this really comes into play when you're writing code and you're up against that tight deadline and you don't have enough time to write it and you have to produce spaghetti code.
No one likes spaghetti code. And it could also, Mike, lead to a point where you've started too late to actually finish your work, which is no good because then you just have an incomplete feature in the scenario of code. And when we were going over the outlines, you actually brought up a really good one. Do you want to?
Yeah, where if as a procrastinator, especially as a developer, when you start last minute working on your code items, building functionality, whatever you need to do for your project, you may only have enough time to go down one road, right? You may not have enough time to go down the right road, and you just do something that works instead of being able to take a step back and pivot and change directions when you run into problems. A lot of time it leads to having to brute force your way through an issue.
And that leads to messy code.
It can lead to messy code, yes.
Often leads to messy code.
It depends on the person, yeah.
Yes.
It could.
Right. So now switching over to the procrastination side. Procrastination is the opposite of procrastination is the proactive nature or the inclination to get things done before an impending deadline. So going back to our book report example, beginning a book report as soon as it's assigned and finishing it prior to its deadline.
Another example would be as soon as you take a task on that you start working on it, you start solutioning it right away and getting it done as soon as you get it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Particularly like at the beginning of a sprint, maybe before you even really start to wrap your head around things, you could jump in and start prototyping and just really try to get the more difficult unknowns out of the way first.
Yeah. Now, there are pros of being a procrastinator. One of the pros of being a procrastinator, you can complete the task sooner, which gives you time to spare afterwards. So this is the tendency to be proactive, which allows you to get more done, potentially, since your focus is always on the next thing, not on the current thing. You're working on getting what you have done now so that you can start working on the next thing.
Right. It also allows for more time to quote-unquote do it right. So all aspects are able to be considered and there's time to polish and perfect. And this is kind of the opposite of the last con that we discussed, Mike, when you can only go down one road. In this scenario, being proactive allows you to explore all the different angles that you could potentially pursue. And then also, like procrastination, it also creates a sense of urgency that forces one to complete the task. This is kind of a blend between a pro and a con, in my opinion, because it creates that urgency. Also, although it does so over a longer course of time and much sooner, and that can cause anxiety.
And anxiety isn't always the best thing for anybody. A little stress, I think, is good, but you don't want too much. And this also means, Jake, for a con of procrastination, that with that extra time, I mean, if you complete a task and then you have a lot of time before you have to do something else, it may lead you to overanalyze and easily pick away. And, you know, it's perfection. Getting it perfect is better than getting it done, which is the wrong sort of mindset sometimes. So I think it's easier for that to happen with a procrastinator.
Yeah, definitely. Well said, Mike.
But what's interesting with procrastination and precrastination is, in their own way, they both add urgency now or later, but you still have the same sort of urgency around the same task.
Right. So should we do the big reveal of who's the procrastinator and who's the precrastinator?
All right. Listeners, pause the show right now. Well, not right now. Wait till I finish this sentence. I want you to pause after this and let us know, maybe on Twitter, tweet at DevUpPodcast, who do you think is the procrastinator and who's the precrastinator? And then we'll reveal to you after this pause. Ready? Now. Okay, so you've paused the podcast, you went on Twitter, you let us know who's the precrastinator. Is it Jake or Mike? And who's the procrastinator? Is it Mike or Jake? And now we're going to tell you the answer. Jake, do you want to do the reveal?
I would love to do the reveal. Thank you, Mike. So Mike is the procrastinator.
I am a procrastinator.
And I am the precrastinator, which sounds awesome, but it's really not. And I don't know if you ever feel this way, Mike, but I sometimes wish I was able to procrastinate. Do you ever wish that you could precrastinate?
Sorry, when you say it sounds awesome, but it's not, I thought you were saying it's not awesome that we're each one of these things. But no, yeah, sometimes I do wish I could be a precrastinator, Jake.
And like we said, there's not one right or wrong way to be. They both have their ups and downs,
yeah,
as we've covered. So now that we got that out of the way, Mike, I want to ask you, do you think it's possible to be both a procrastinator and a precrastinator?
So Jake, as mainly a procrastinator in almost all aspects of my life, especially in development, there are times when it's easier to be a procrastinator versus a precrastinator. So yeah, I would say as a developer, it's possible to be both.
Can you maybe give an example, if we were to put you on the spot,
of being both a precrastinator and procrastinator? Yeah. So as an example, you could be starting a new project and work that maybe has to do with a new technology or a new client or just a new project. You're really excited about what you're going to have to build, and you start to architect it out, really plan out the exciting part, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. And then you stop and you don't actually do the work. You do the planning, but then planning's over. Now you procrastinate until last minute. Now I got to actually write the code.
That's a really good example. That actually happened to me recently on a certain project. And I was so excited about what I was going to be doing that I went and learned and planned a bunch. But then I really kind of wanted to savor the excitement of doing it. And so I actually put it off.
I think it's definitely, that happens on projects, as we've both seen. I've seen that too. That's how I could pull it up. And it happens where I see it happening on projects where you work with teams, mainly teams from different departments, and projects that have to do with different phases. So everyone goes to the kickoff of a project. You get really excited what you have to do. Maybe you start to think about it. And now you have to wait till, say, design and UX is done before you can start developing.
I agree, Mike. That also kind of reinforces the way that I was thinking about it too, being both procrastinator and precrastinator, or perhaps the ability to switch between both. I've always felt that one is more proactive about something when they're actually passionate about that thing. and they're more likely to demonstrate procrastinative behaviors towards something that they're not. So going back to like our high school book report example, you're probably not passionate about your book report, so you're going to put it off to last minute and procrastinate. But you're not going to show up 3 hours late to your friend's party and get there just before it ends because you are passionate about your social life. So you prioritize the things that you actually care about. And that could be in a scenario in which you're a little bit of both.
I can see that argument, though I disagree, Jake, with being a procrastinator means you're passionate about what you're working on, and being a procrastinator means you're not passionate about it.
That's fair.
So let me ask you, as
that would insinuate that procrastination is a bad thing when it's not.
Right. It's just a different way to work. So let me ask you, Jake, as a procrastinator, can I ask you why you are a procrastinator? Like, what drives you to work that way? And what benefit do you find from it?
Well, the benefit is getting things done sooner than later. I don't like having a to-do list of obligations, and I feel better once I no longer owe something. But it's not a good feeling to have to owe something. And by being a procrastinator, I wouldn't say that there's a reason I do it, aside from I don't want to have that anxiety of feeling like I have to do something. Because I know I'm going to have to do it eventually. It may not be what I want to do or the best use of my time, but I need to do it, and I'd rather just get it out of the way now than wait until later and have it inconvenience me then.
All right, so as a procrastinator, you want to just get something off of your shoulders as soon as possible?
Right.
Interesting. Okay. So as a procrastinator, I almost work opposite. And what happens is when I get a task, if there's no real pressure to get it done, I don't worry about it at all. And I don't feel like a burden of it on my shoulders until there's a deadline and like it's the end, or like I really need to get it done. And there's what I said earlier, there's a fire lit for me to do it, then that gives me the drive I need to like really dedicate to that problem and really just focus on it. And that's why I like being, or that's why I naturally am a procrastinator, I would say.
Okay, I can understand that. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Let's look at it from this way. So something that you and I have both done, Mike, is we have spoken at conferences. And there's a lot of work that goes into speaking for a conference. You need to pick a topic. You need to research that topic and really become as much of an expert on that topic as you can. You need to create an outline for a presentation. You need to create the slides for a presentation. You need to get some other people's opinions to make sure the slides are good. You need to practice. You need to build up the confidence. There's a lot that goes into it. And I know that when I need to speak, my first inclination is to just try to get it done as soon as possible so I can have as much time to practice it and perfect it as I need, because I'm afraid that if I don't do that, then I'm going to underdeliver. Now, I know you speak way more than I do, so perhaps you've probably more comfortable public speaking than I am at this point, but do you ever find that when you put off your presentation, it creates some sort of anxiety that builds up?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, Jake, yeah, I think it does, but I think that's anxiety that I need to motivate me to get it done and try to do the best I can. In my personal experience, like with public speaking, if say the conference I'm going to speak at is like 3 months away and I start working on the presentation now, I am fearful that I will forget what I'm going to do or, you know, how I wanted to present the information. Whereas I do it closer to the date, it's all going to be fresh in my mind from the moment I start working on the presentation to the moment I step in front of the crowd. If that's a tight deadline, then I have that passion behind me, what I want to speak about throughout the whole thing. So I kind of keep everything fluid and I don't have to try to remember, like, what did I mean when I put this bullet point on this slide?
You're fresh and warmed
up. Yeah, yeah. But part of that goes, I guess this would tie into being both a pro and a procrastinator. In that scenario, and even with the development, like architecting, this goes back to where we talked about, what episode was it? I forget which episode, but I mentioned planning backwards. So when I know a session's accepted to speak at a conference, I plan the weeks backwards about how long do I have to do something. And since I've done enough times, I know how long I need to practice to be comfortable. I know how long I typically need to build a presentation. So I get those weeks as close to the presentation date as possible, and then I know I have this chunk of time where I don't have to do anything to focus on it. So I plan backwards from the day of the conference to what time I need to know when I have to absolutely start working on the presentation.
So that is kind of proactively procrastinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right? you actually have a system in place that is going to allow you to get things done in the time that you need to get it done with the quality that you want to deliver. But you're not putting it off until like a day or two before and really just throwing it together haphazardly.
Right. And I mean, and I don't think being a procrastinator has to be about that. It's waiting to when you have to absolutely start working on something, in my mind, is what it means to be a procrastinator.
I like that. It makes complete sense. So let me ask you one more question, Mike, one more discussion point. Is it possible to change if you are a procrastinator? Is it possible to become a procrastinator and vice versa?
My answer would be yes. Because as humans, we can change whatever we want about ourselves. That's, you know, in our power. It's hard to change, though. You're not going to change, Jake, unless you want to.
I'd agree with you, Mike. We can change our habits. We can change our behaviors, but we can't necessarily change the way we think inherently. So going back to the presentation thing, I don't think I could ever get in the same mindset that you're in when you're creating a presentation, but I might be able to ease up a little bit and not worry so much. And I know if you put your mind to it, you could start planning earlier. But I think that there is also room for improvement for anyone to improve their habits when it comes to procrastinating or precrastinating.
Yeah, whichever one you're comfortable with and works for you. I mean, I think naturally people navigate to one or the other. There are still ways to do it better.
Right.
Is what you're trying to bring up.
Yeah, so it's not whatever one works for you. It's really whatever one you are.
Yeah. It's whichever you are, procrastinator, precrastinator.
All right, so I think this is a good leading point into giving some tips for improving your habits, regardless of whether or not you're a precrastinator or a procrastinator. And the first one, and I think the most important one, is you don't have to start immediately, but you also shouldn't wait until last minute.
Yeah, this kind of actually goes into the example I gave when we were talking about how we approach public speaking differently. When I know a session is accepted, I start planning backwards my schedule to know how long I have to procrastinate. So whether you're a precrastinator or a procrastinator, you can figure out what time you have to work in and when you have to get things done.
It's actually a perfect example of what you described earlier, Mike, creating like an informal schedule that outlines your milestones or the task at hand. And you do that with your conference presentations, which is great. If you're a procrastinator, you can also try to be a little bit more conscious of your downtime. Consider dedicating some of that downtime you might find yourself having to working on something a little bit more a minute. So for you, Mike, I think you already have a good system at hand. But if you were putting off things till the very last minute and you knew that you had some free time coming up, you could say, all right, I'm going to carve out this slot to work on my conference presentation.
Yeah. And I'd say opposite for an improving as a procrastinator, give yourself permission to pause on your work, like to take a minute and take a break and not just feel like you have to be heads down, get this done as quick as possible, like spread it out a little bit if you can, if you have the room to do so.
I have so much trouble with that, and it's something I'm constantly trying to work on. I have always had trouble living in the moment, and I just always feel like there's something weighing down on me, and I'll never actually get ahead of it. I'm always just keeping up enough, and so that's something I know I really need to work on.
That sounds a little bit like imposter syndrome, Jake. Do you know imposter syndrome?
I sure do.
All right. I believe we have scheduled to talk about that in another episode, so I'm not going to go too much more into it in this one.
Okay, but that's a good topic, though. I'm looking forward to talking about
that. A lot of developers, in my experience, have that happen. You know, we've talked about plenty of times falling into the zone of development, put your headphones on, and you just code and code and code and code and code. And that's beneficial up to a point, but then eventually you start to risk burning out. Whether you're a precrastinator or a procrastinator, it's about planning your time effectively, essentially, and when you want to start and when you want to complete.
Effectively and sustainably.
Yeah, sustainably. Yeah, that's a really good one.
To prevent that burnout. Right. And then I also put in here, ship at 90%. So finish something when you feel like it's at 90%, because you spend a whole lot of time getting to 90%. You're going to spend equally as much time getting that last 10%, that last bit of perfection. So if you have a tendency to overly perfect things, you can needlessly burn your valuable time. So not to say settle for less, but settle for great, but you don't have to settle for perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a way to respond to that, but I think you put it very well, Jake.
Cool. Thank you. So should we wrap it up, Mike?
Yeah, let's wrap it up with the difference between procrastination and precrastination in developers.
So procrastination is waiting until the last minute before something is due, or waiting till it needs to be complete to start.
And precrastination is the proactive nature or inclination to get things done before the impending deadline. So doing it as soon as you can.
One really important point that we underscored is that there isn't one side that's better. Procrastination is not better than procrastination, and vice versa. They both have their pros and their cons, and we talked about those pros and cons, but it really doesn't matter which one you are. You need to embrace it and find a system that works best for you, working towards a middle ground. So if you wait till last minute, you're going to risk compromising quality. If you're too proactive, you'll cause yourself anxiety or overly perfect things and waste time. So try to find a middle ground between those things. You don't need to start immediately, but you also don't need to wait till the very end.
And regardless, whether you are a procrastinator or a precrastinator, it's about finding the best way that you work for yourself. So the best way to improve your habits, no matter what, is to find a healthy balance between when you need to start immediately and waiting to the last minute and taking breaks in between.
Well said. I would like to ask our listeners if they are willing to share with us whether or not they are procrastinators or precrastinators. And I know it'll be really interesting to see the result. I wonder if it will be split 50-50 or if it's going to be weighted in a certain direction.
I wonder at first, it'll seem like we have all precrastinative listeners, and then at the very end, we have all procrastinators.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe we can do like a Twitter poll. I think you can do those, right?
You can.
All right.
We should do that. That'll be fun.
Set that up. Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to know any more about precrastination or procrastination, we always have information about what we talked about in our show notes. And you can find the show notes for this episode at developinghelp.com/20, right? This is the 20th episode.
This is 20.
20. But also, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You could send us a message at hello@developinghelp.com. as well as interact with us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast.
And if you're enjoying the show, we would welcome a positive rating on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts. And if you're enjoying this show and you know someone who could benefit from it, please share the love.
And if you're a procrastinator, share it immediately after you listen to this episode. If you're a procrastinator, I guess wait a few days until the next episode comes out. All right, thank you for listening. It's still sunny out, Jake.
I love it. Let's take a little break and
All right.
get some fresh air.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.